Today, we're going to talk with Dr. Mark Hayden, a medical doctor. And, you know, we've been doing a series of programs with him on his exciting discovery that he introduced to the world through this program. And it has to do with how you can use a different form of working on the Corona 19 problem. And we've got two programs that's available on the podcast. You can get to the podcast to hear his previous shows at www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn, spelling Libsyn, LIBSYN.com. And so in addition to this podcast, go over there and check out his previous two podcasts and subscribe to the podcast and you'll get all the upcoming information. Mark, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Well, it's great to be here.
Okay. This deals with a correspondence that you sent me previously, and it's about UAB, University of Alabama in Birmingham, nasal spray. So let me just read the opening comment. The mucosal T-cell response in the respiratory tract is believed to be dependent on the intranasal route of administration. And we, meaning the company that's doing this study, Altimmune, believe it has the potential to provide additional protection against COVID-19. So they said the induction of a mucosal T-cell response in the lungs has not been shown to date with the intramuscular administered COVID-19 vaccine. And this vaccine is in the third stage of clinical development. So, Mark, start off by telling us who said this, what their relationship is to University of Alabama in Birmingham, and what they're trying to obtain in their studies.
I think we've heard a lot about antibodies, but not all antibodies are created equal. And different antibodies have different function. We know that there's serum IgG, but it was observed that high levels of IgG were often associated with very bad outcomes when people became infected with SARS-CoV-2 virus. Even today, if you go out and you get a serum antibody test after a COVID infection, if you have a really high serum IgG, it really suggests that you've had a very severe infection. If you're exposed to the SARS virus, the COVID virus, on your mucosa, on the surface of your nose, on the surface of your mouth, during your intestinal tract, you can have an elevation of serum IgA, of not serum IgA, but mucosal IgA. And in certain research labs that can actually tell that you've been exposed to SARS-CoV-2 because your mucosal IgA will go up almost eightfold in your nose. So a UAB company began to investigate, a company that was working with UAB. They began to investigate how they could trigger mucosal IgA. And they they're in the process of developing a immune stimulant to produce mucosal IgA on the nose, in the nasal mucosa, or the surface of the nose. What is interesting is that when this company was interviewed, they divulged a secret that is not publicly well known. And that is that the vaccines that were intramuscular, and by IM we mean the vaccines that were shots into the muscle, were not effective, likely, at producing a defense for the surface of the mucosa, whether that mucosa is likely in the lungs, where COVID really develops. When you look at the problem of COVID, it is really well-defined and well-proven that when the virus grows from a few hundred to a few billion in the lungs, that is when the problem appears. If you can't stop that process and you can only delay your IgG and attacking it later on, you will have a huge autoimmune response against your own lungs. Because you get in a vicious cycle once it's allowed to multiply for days into billions in the alveolus. Then when you attack it, you can not just attack the virus, but you will destroy the fragile tissue of the lungs. The lungs are very unique, particularly the alveolus, in that if you look at the alveolus, those lungs are actually mostly air. The cell lining or epithelium and basement membrane of the lungs is very thin. That is so that oxygen can go in there. I'll compare it to your car. You remember your car has an air filter? Remember how thin the air filter is? You can take your finger a lot of times and poke through an air filter because it's very thin. It has to be thin to let oxygen pass through. The problem is that if your body attacks that thin tissue, it will tear up and disintegrate. And then what we have in the severe COVID illness is as the lungs disintegrate, the little particles go throughout the body and cause problems elsewhere. And as the lungs disintegrate, all the virus that's in the center, millions and billions of viruses are suddenly released into the bloodstream and disseminate all over the place. So one of the unique things about COVID was that people could be good one day and crash and burn the next. And this is from the release, the vicious cycle of ripping open alveolus, dumping virus and all the inflammation and infection that came about when the body attacks. Part of that inflammation was actually caused by IgG. So when we say when vaccine companies wanted to stimulate IgG, that was a two-edged sword. The hope was that IgG would magically somehow protect the alveolus. That did not happen. I had approached the U.S. government, and I had contacted them and asked them to look at mucosal stimulation by pills, by capsules, and by other means. All those means were meant as a mucosal defense. In fact, I sent the head of Operation Warp Speed information that IgA would be essential to protect the body. This turns out was basically ignored by, at least in my respect, they did not even ask me to present even though I was ready to present. I begged to present. Yet I was not allowed to do my presentation to the BARDA Tech Watch meeting down in Washington. Instead, they went to their friends in Big Pharma. They gave them billions of dollars, billions and billions, to make intramuscular vaccines that, guess what, they don't work. Too bad, so sad, but that's the way it worked out. So what they haven't told you, honestly, candidly, is that the 100 vaccines that were shots are turning out to be duds. That's right, ineffective duds with major side effects like fever and chills, body aches. Now, if you'll notice, there are lots and lots of people in our community that have been exposed to the SARS virus. I pointed out to the government, I said, when people exhale and they have virus, those viruses get on the food. And when they eat the food, it goes into their digestive tract. And their digestive tracts are actually producing IgA. And it's turning out that what is protecting the American people right now, today, is not Big Pharma. It's not the CDC's Wonder Vaccine Program. No, what is reducing the death rate is actually that people have eaten SARS-CoV-2 in the environment. That's right. The people that make our food, a lot of time they're exhaling SARS on it. Don't panic. The SARS you eat does not kill you. The SARS you breathe deep into your lungs, it's what creates the problem. But the solution has been there all along. People have been eating SARS on their food for months because people get it in their family. They breathe it on their food. These people don't have fever and chills like a vaccine. Instead, they get low-level IgA protection. And what happens is you even see this reflected in the mortality rates. Turns out the death rate in hospitalizations, according to recent articles in NPR, has dropped from like 25% down to 7%. Wow. That means the death rate is only about a third for people that are hospitalized of what it was earlier in the year. But that is because our intestinal tracts are being exposed to the SARS virus. So has the beauty of God's plan is that God planned an immune system that most of the time works extremely well. It is incredibly complex, but God's immune system that he planned for people had a purpose. And it does a very good job of protecting our systems. You know, you can't count on the government to save you. That won't work. Being healthy does work. Learning about disease on your own works. You haven't been told this on CNN. You haven't been told it on Fox. CNN, Fox, big corporate media, they serve the big corporations. It's all about big bucks and big money. It's not about truth. Healthy lifestyles are the key to having a healthy life. When God told the children of Israel, don't eat things that slither on the ground, he told them that in Leviticus. God knew that there were viruses on the ground. The people, if you asked any of the Israelites and said, what is a virus? They didn't know. God gave them rules to follow for a healthy lifestyle. God has not abandoned the people of this earth. As Jesus said, there's not a sparrow that falls that God does not know about it. God's understanding of our complex world far, far exceeds the CDC. It exceeds Fauci. It exceeds any government employee. The reason we're alive today is that God has a plan for each one of us. We have a destiny. We have an important role. Our lives are not controlled by men. Unfortunately, we live in a time where we're expected to give up our right to worship, our right to come together and worship God, to sing songs of praises, and to talk about Jesus just to meet certain demands of the government. And when will these things end? One of the reasons why the U.S. government was founded was for religious protection. And now we see those things attacked. That's awful. Our right to serve God is more important than our right to live. Each one of us needs to hold our right to worship higher than any other obligation. Our first duty is to God. It's not men. And yes, we have families that we care about. And we should love our neighbor. And we should not exhale virus into our neighbor's face. But if we make cookies or cake or fix our neighbor a plate and we breathe virus on it, our neighbor is not harmed. To the contrary, our neighbor eats the virus and actually helps defend his immune system. So, you know, these are things that God has been looking out for us all along. And the reason the death rate is down is because God's immune system worked. It's not because men are suddenly so much smarter than they were 6 or 9 months ago. Naturally acquired immunity through the digestive tract has always been going on for the last year. It's been occurring accidentally. Even when we don't understand things, it does not mean that there are not processes in place to protect us. God's always there. We just have to look for it.
Mark, your previous two programs on my podcast have talked about inoculation. And what you're talking about now is inoculating yourself through eating or sharing food from other people that have COVID-19. So this study, which is, I understand, still in animal testing, we don't know how it's going to turn out exactly, but I think what you're telling our audience is that this mucosal infection, inoculation process, which we've gone into in detail and will continue to, is being looked at by other people. And the answer is that you want a mucosal type of T-cell response and immunity as opposed to what we're getting when we just breathe it into the lungs. And so my question is, how do you test for mucosal immunity as opposed to the immunity that's being shown in the tests that they're commonly running today, which look at IgG?
The mucosal immunity, and by that immunity on the surface of the epithelium, and I don't want this to use too many terms that are overly scientific, but the surface immunity is controlled by IgA. At research centers they can measure the IgA on the surface. You can't get that in your from your local community. That should be the best diagnostic test. That best diagnostic test is not available for our listeners. It is available at research centers. And I have read a particular Swiss article that showed that healthcare workers that were in hospitals, their surface IgA was increasing because they were exposed to it. Literally, if you're in a hospital, the SARS virus is everywhere if you're taking care of a lot of COVID patients. It's not just one or two virus particles. You're talking about billions of particles that are invisible. There's no way to dodge it, basically. And what your system does is it begins to develop, recognize these virus particles, and begins to mount a defense to it. And so that is one of the things that is going on in healthcare workers is, or even if you take care of somebody who has SARS, if somebody has SARS-CoV-2 in your household, if you don't inhale it because it's everywhere in your house or in your room they're in, you're likely to get it on your mouth, in your nose, in your eyes. You're likely to get it on your food. You're going to swallow it. And because if you don't inhale it, but expose it to your digestive tract and your mucosa, you're likely to have a much better outcome, much less disease, and have a better survival ratio. And that is what goes on. That is why the death rate is falling.
So this particular study that we're telling you about today, we don't know how the results are going to come out, but they are studying inoculation by the nasal route. You're talking about in your program that we're doing inoculation by the intestinal route, which goes through the GI system, and you're saying that it's much safer and better in most respects than anything that we've got going now.
That's exactly right. The IM vaccines often are associated with fatigue, fever, body aches. A lot of people are getting, millions of people get asymptomatic immunity, and they never have the fatigue, the body aches, the chills that you would get from a shot. So getting the immunity through the digestive tract and through the mucosa, the surface of your system, turns out to be much less painful and uncomfortable than getting a shot. We also can look at, for instance, what happened in Sweden. They let it rip. They didn't have a lot of big lockdowns. In Sweden, if you were to go into Sweden, that virus was everywhere during the peak. And during the peak, there were a lot of sickness and a lot of death. But because the virus was everywhere in the community, everybody got exposed during the first wave of the exposure. Now, they've had a second wave, but almost all the cases are milder. And in the last 100, and I think in the last 60 days, there were only about two deaths per day in the entire country of Sweden. The deaths went down because everybody had been exposed to their mucosa, to their eyes, to their mouth, to their intestinal tract. The virus as a whole is a nightmare when it reaches your alveolus. But if it doesn't reach your alveolus and it reaches your mouth and your digestive tract and your intestinal tract, guess what? Your body can mount an immune defense. And these things have likely gone on in epidemics for years and years. What would happen is that an epidemic would come out, the new virus would go everywhere, and the people would get exposed. Even the ones that weren't considered, quote, unquote, infected, they had some exposure that allowed them to develop immunity. So in some ways, the virus has helped understand and draw attention to the complexity of the immune system. The other thing is that SARS was, in a way, the SARS-CoV-2 virus or COVID virus. It was unique because its sole danger was not the infection of our mouth. Nobody runs around and says, my mouth is so sore, it's killing me. Nobody runs around with COVID and says, my esophagus is so sore, it's killing me. Nobody has ever really even died that I know of SARS-CoV-2 gastroenteritis. Most of the times the gastroenteritis is mild. No one has ever ruptured their bowel that I know of, despite millions of cases. The SARS COVID virus is really only lethal when it reaches that alveolus. Now, very early, I did a Google search on SARS, on alveolar IgA. And that, when I did that search, I could only find one article in the entire world on IgA and the alveolus. That's because there had been no research on IgA in the alveolus because it was never an issue before. It was never an issue, I suggest, because most viruses don't reach the alveolus. So at the core problem of COVID was you had a new virus that the community was not protected from, had no defense to, that was reaching a part of the body that it never should have reached, and that was the alveolus. And that created some very unique problems.
So, Mark, this report on intranasal inoculation, we don't know how this is going to go, but you will give us the update as you find it developing, right?
I would be glad to give you an update. And I think that that is a trend. The CDC or the U.S. government funded that research. The U.S. government now realizes, although what they haven't admitted publicly, is that the IM vaccines have failed. And now they're funding mucosal vaccines. And that is a change. They have not come out and given funding for a oral vaccination or oral inoculation. But hey, guess what? Even though the government hadn't funded inoculation, it's been happening in our communities by accident. I will be glad to keep your listeners informed and let them know the progress. And our listeners won't be holding their breath expecting a vaccine in 2 months that is intramuscular. They won't be holding their breath expecting an intramuscular vaccine in 6 months. And in fact, they may not be holding their breath for an intramuscular vaccine ever, because they won't be surprised if they don't work at all, intramuscular vaccines.
Okay.
So I appreciate the chance to talk with you.
Yeah. So as a practicing physician and a scientific researcher, you've got lots of information. And would I say that this information has culminated in your perception of this problem that we do not need another lockdown?
I think a lockdown is ridiculous at this point. Absolutely.
But you know, some of the government officials are saying, well, if the scientists tell us that we need a lockdown, we're going to shut the country down again. But you're a scientist, and you're telling us that we don't need a lockdown probably under any circumstances.
What the people need is inoculation and vaccination of their digestive tract.
Right.
What the American people needed, and I approached the government in April, they could have had this rolling within 6 weeks or 8 weeks. What the people of the United States needed was an inoculation method of the intestinal tract. They don't have that, not because it wasn't offered to them, not because they didn't plead with them, even if they didn't develop with me, because they turned to big pharma, their friends in big industry. And they had used those relationships, and they went down the wrong path. And that's not the American people's fault. And to some degree, that's not Trump's fault. Trump could only believe, Trump was a businessman. He was not a scientist. He can't read a scientific article. He really was left, like the rest of the American people, turning to, quote, quote, scientific experts. The problem is, big science is big budget. Big budget means big money. And once money comes into situations, the truth gets crushed. Then it becomes about big budgets, people's paychecks. It's very hard to get to the truth in medicine once all the money comes in.
Well, I've always said, Mark, if you want to get to the truth, follow the money. And that's essentially what you're saying. We have your programs that we're producing right now on inoculation. And I would suggest that everybody listen to those programs and redirect your friends to our podcast that we're doing. Now, let me ask you in closing, do you want people to come to you directly or through your website to see some of the stuff that you've written?
I want you to go to my website, and I want you to contact your physician and ask him to go to these websites. Many of the things I discussed, I found people in the U.S. government that really wanted these ideas to move forward. They wanted to promote these concepts. But in the end, the people who won out at getting attention were the people with the big budgets, with the big money. And even those people that helped me, they volunteered to help me. They spent their time trying to cut into the attention of the powers that be. What your readers need to do is realize that their intestines and their surface mucosa is what is going to develop the immunity. The shot that they speculate that might be ready to give into their muscle, don't count on it. Don't necessarily ever expect it for SARS-CoV-2.
Can you give us your website address, please?
Yes. www.digestivecovid.com. And then www.antivirusair.com.
Mark, you've been really great helping with this COVID problem, and I just want our listeners to go to the podcast, hear your previous two programs and any future programs that you will do so that they can get an idea of truth just below the surface. Thank you for being on the show today. We really appreciate it.
It's been great to be here, and I appreciate your interest and the interest of the audience, and realize that God loves you and that every day counts.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.